ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 10 टेक्स्ट नंबर 20। सवै सवै बलवलोक निरीक्षार्थम अव्यक्त लिंगो विचराति आपि स्वेत योगेश्वरानां गतिमंद बुद्धि कथम विचक्षिता ग्रहानुबंधना। ट्रांसलेशन। इज इट नॉट अ फैक्ट दैट योर गुड सेल्फ इज अ डायरेक्ट रिप्रेजेंटेटिव ऑफ कपिलदेव द इंकार्नेशन ऑफ सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड। To examine people and see who is actually a human being and who is not, you have presented yourself to be a deaf and a dumb person. Are you not moving this way upon the surface of the world? I am very attached to family life and worldly activities, and I am blind to spiritual knowledge. Nonetheless, I am now present before you and am seeking enlightenment from you. How can I advance in spiritual life? Purport. Although Maharaj Rahugana was playing the part of a king, he had been informed by Jad Bharat that he was not a king, nor was Jad Bharat deaf and dumb. Such designations were simply coverings of the spirit soul. Everyone must come to this knowledge. As confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 2.13, Deinosmin yatha dehe. Everyone is encased within the body. Since the body is never identical with the soul, the bodily activities are simply illusory. In the association of such a sadhu as Jad Bharat, Maharaj Rahugana came to the awareness that his activities as a royal authority was simply illusory phenomenon. He therefore agreed to receive knowledge from Jad Bharat, and that was the beginning of his perfection. Tad vigyanartham saguru eva abhigaschet. A person like Maharaj Rahugana, who was very inquisitive to know the value of life and spiritual science, must approach a personality like Jad Bharat. Tashmat gurum prapadyet jignashu shreya uttamam. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.3.21. One must approach a guru like Jad Bharat and a representative of Supreme Personality of Godhead to inquire about the goal of life. The goal of human life. Hare Krishna. So we are continuing our reading from the 10th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, text 21, which is the dialogue between Jad Bharat and King Rahugana. In the previous verses, we have seen how Rahugana was very much in his material identity, very much in his bodily identity, considering himself to be the king, and was chastising and being sarcastic to Jad Bharat for his abnormal behavior. But after having received a proper understanding from Jad Bharat, he is enlightened. And this is the verse, or this is the outcome of his enlightenment, wherein he understands that he is attached to his family life, he is attached to his worldly activities, and he understands the importance of approaching a spiritual master and submitting himself at his lotus feet, and so that his life can be meaningful. So this particular aspect of a human being is a very, very important and a very landmark event in his life. As we understand that of the 8,400,000 species of life, only 4 lakh species are human beings. And as Prabhupada explains in many of his books, especially in the Science of Self-Realization, that Brahmanda Bhramite Kono Bhagyavan Jiva, only a very fortunate person, very, very fortunate person, really gets a shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. Now, this word fortune is sometimes not really understood, or rather it's taken very, very lightly. So what is our real fortune? That this we are fortunate, we are Bhagyavan. This verse is talking about all of us. We are the people who have been recipient of the mercy of the spiritual master. But what is our real fortune? Prabhupada really very elaborately explains in the Science of Self-Realization, wherein he explains that of the four like species of human life, most of them are uncivilized people. A very few are civilized. And of the few who are civilized, he goes on to explain, a very, very few portion of those civilized people are really attracted to some sort of mode of goodness activities. Most of them who are attracted to doing activities and mode of goodness, they get stuck with some philanthropic or altruistic activities. A very few of those people really understand that there is something beyond this mode of goodness, and they perform activities towards enlightenment, and they involve themselves into some meditation and some process. And he goes on to explain that only one out of millions of people really understands that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and takes the shelter of the spiritual master. So after many, 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 many situations, a fortunate Bhagyavan Jeev actually comes in contact with the spiritual master. So we also understand that this one person of millions of people, it is only one person who is fortunate. To give you a more visual understanding of this, and it helped me to understand the fortune. If we really visualize it in this particular way, just imagine that there is a huge playground. There's a huge playground which can accommodate millions of people. It's a huge ground. And of those millions of people waiting there, there's only one person of those millions of people who is really fortunate to come to a situation where he understands that he is Krishna Das, he's supposed to be servant of God, and he should take shelter of the spiritual master. Now, when we are in association of devotees, what is association of devotees? It is those one of the millions of people associating with each other. So how special is this association of devotees? It is association of those rare people, of those rare one person of millions of people who are associating with each other. So how much we should be respectful and loving to the devotees and the Vaishnavas, no matter how advanced or how junior they are in their spiritual life. The fact that they are coming to spiritual life itself makes them so special. So when a person comes to the situation that he, when he realizes to take shelter of the spiritual master, there is a whole process of how he approaches the spiritual master. It's a science. Approaching a spiritual master is a science. The jiva soul has been wandering to millions of lives, and at last he understands the importance of approaching a spiritual master. He realizes how fallen he is, how caught up he is in the material entanglements, and how much he desperately needs the shelter of the spiritual master. So herein, Maharaj Raghuna is a classical example of a person who has, by the mercy of Krishna, realized his fallen condition. All of us are in the situation of Maharaj Raghuna. We are very proud of our bodily designations, as Maharaj Raghuna was a few verses ago. He was proud that he was a controller of a province, and he wanted the work to be done the way he wanted it to be done, and he didn't want any sort of discomfort in his life because he was a controller, he thought. And he was ordering, being sarcastic, being and ridiculing Jad Bharat for his abnormal behavior. But after he realized by the wonderful sweet words of Jad Bharat, he has come to his senses. And he's speaking these words that I am a very attached to family life and worldly activities, and I am blind to spiritual knowledge. We all are blind. The right word is blind. We are, our eyes are covered with ignorance. That's why these words, Om Agyana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruvai Namaha. We offer respects to our spiritual master who has removed the darkness of ignorance from our eyes. The cataract has been removed by his expert surgical operation. This is the process of approaching a spiritual master, where we understand that we are in an ignorant situation and we need to take shelter of a spiritual master. And it is very, very great glory when somebody submits his life to the spiritual master and gives his life as an offering to the spiritual master. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in one of his lectures I was reading, he said that I don't really know who is Krishna. I am simply a worshipper of my spiritual master. I can't worship Krishna, he is beyond me. But I am a worshipper of my spiritual master. I am Guru Pujari, he says. I am Pujari of my spiritual master. So this particular aspect, Tad Viganartham Swaguru Eva Abhigachet, Prabhupada says. Abhigachet, it is required, it is important. Eva Abhigachet is certainly important. To take the shelter of a spiritual master when we have got a human form of life. After we have got a human form of life, if we don't take the shelter of a spiritual master, we are like animals. And what is the process of approaching a spiritual master, or rather taking a spiritual master in our life? It is not some show. 99% of people, they do have photographs of their guru in their offices and their homes, but it's more of a show. That to say that, well, I also have a guru. But the real process of taking a guru is to submit ourselves in complete humility and seek his blessings. Because when we feel ourselves to be completely useless, when we feel ourselves to be completely negative, will we attract the supreme positive mercy of the spiritual master and Lord Krishna? And in this regard, there is a very, very beautiful story which is personally shown by Lord Krishna himself. He says Krishna is Jagat Guru. He is the spiritual master of everybody. But when Krishna, the same Supreme Krishna, when he came to this material world 5000 years ago, we all know that he also took the shelter of a spiritual master. He went to the Gurukula of Sandipani Muni. And there's a very beautiful story which appears in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Krishna meets Sudama, his old friend, when Sudama comes to Dwarka. And they're discussing, as friends discuss, the old times in the Gurukul of his spiritual master. He says, Sudama, do you remember that night? That day rather, he said, when our Guru Mata, the wife of our spiritual master, told us to get some woods from the forest. Sudama said, yes, I do remember. I said, how we both of us caught each other's hands and we're walking towards the forest, and suddenly it was unseasonal rain. It was a winter season, but it was unseasonal rain. There were clouds covering the sky, dark clouds, very, 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 a great gush of wind was blowing, thunder was striking, and in no time there was heavy downpour of rain, the way we have seen in the last 2 days. There was downpour of rain, and he said that we couldn't really distinguish between high land and low land. It was such a downpour, and it was so big, it became suddenly very, very cold. And it is explained by the commentators, by Sridhar Swami and Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, that Krishna and Sudama had already cut the wood. They were carrying the wood, but they couldn't find their way, and they were standing below the trees, shivering. Now here is Supreme Personality of God, Lord Krishna, who was shivering in the cold because of the heavy downpour, and they were holding the hands because they were fearful that they might miss each other. On the other side, in the Gurukul, Sandipani Muni, was very, very worried. Where are my students gone? It is very, very dangerous situation. And when the morning approached, the rains calmed down. And Sandipani Muni, in a very, very great anxiety, started going towards the forest to find Krishna and Sudama. And there, he found them below the tree, shivering because of being drenched by the downpour of water. And he speaks this very beautiful slokas, which is very, very indicative. My dear children, you have suffered so much for my sake. The body is most dear to every living creature, but you are so dedicated to me that you have completely disregarded your own comforts. This indeed is a duty of all true disciples, to repay the debt to their spiritual master by offering him with pure hearts their wealth and even their very life. He says that everybody has this body very, very dear to themselves. But when we take initiation, when we take a shelter of a spiritual master, we all understand what does it mean to become a disciple. That this body doesn't anymore belong to us. It becomes a property of the spiritual master. And he can use it the way he wants. Now this is not only for the brahmacharis who are staying in the ashram. This is for every single person who has taken the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. The disciple becomes the property of the spiritual master. And he says that you have disregarded everything and you have dedicated yourself completely to my service, disregarding your own comfort. And then he gives them a benediction. A very, very nice benediction. He says, my dear boys, you are first class brahmanas and I am very satisfied with you. Now here is the situation where the spiritual master is pleased. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Yashya Prasad Bhagavat Prasado. When we please the spiritual master, we please Krishna. And in this case, Sandipani Muni was so pleased by the acts of Krishna and Sudama, he gave them very wonderful benediction. He said, may all your desires be fulfilled and may the Vedic mantras you have learned never lose their meaning for you in this world or in the next. May the meaning of the Vedic mantras and never lose the meaning in this world or in the next. The Sanskrit word used here is Ayata Yamaini. And in the purport, this purport I think by Ridhananda Maharaj, he explains that cooked food left sitting for 3 hours is called Yata Yama, indicating that it has lost its taste. And similarly, if a devotee does not remain fixed in Krishna consciousness, the transcendental knowledge that once inspired him on the spiritual path will lose its taste or meaning for him. Thus, Sandipani Muni blesses his disciple that the Vedic mantras which reveal the absolute truth will never lose the meaning for them, but will remain ever fresh in their mind. This is a very, very special benediction. I felt that many of us really go through this situation, at least I have gone through a situation where once upon a time in our past, we have been very much inspired by certain situation, and that's why we are dedicated our life to the lotus feet of spiritual master. But as the time goes by, because we start taking things for granted and we are doing things, the same things again and again, the purpose is lost and we lose the taste in due course. But when we are constantly attached to the lotus feet of spiritual master, even if the taste is lost, we'll always be attached to his lotus feet, and we in due course we will get the taste. This is the importance of submitting ourselves to the spiritual master. There are so many examples of devotees who by the examples have taught us the process of submitting themselves to the spiritual master and the importance of doing so. Now we hear this story so many times. These stories are not simply meant to be heard and appreciated or made notes about in our own notebooks. But more than that, we have to inscribe them in our hearts and practice it in our lives. When we hear the story of Narottamdas Thakur surrendering himself to Lokanath Goswami for practically 1 year, serving in menially, we really appreciate it. But how much we really put into practice the type of Guru Nishtha that he had for his spiritual master. The way Prabhupada had a Nishtha for his spiritual master. And one very classical situation of how a disciple should surrender to the lotus feet of a spiritual master is the surrender of Sri Rup Sanatan, the lotus feet of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We all Rupanugas. We are supposed to be followers of Rupa Goswami. And here these two brothers, they teach by their very, very classical example of how one should feel when one approaches the spiritual master. Not only at the time of initiation, but whenever he is approaching his spiritual master or whenever he is serving his spiritual master. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by some arrangements, he came to Ramkeli, these two brothers, Rupa and Sanatan, were desiring to meet him for many, many years. And we all know that there was a wonderful exchange of letters between these two brothers and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu Chaitanya simply wrote them one line. He said that don't be just like the wife who has a paramour. She serves the husband with great intensity, much more intensity. But she's always thinking of the paramour. Similarly, continue your service and in due course, you'll be liberated. At this point, when the two brothers realized that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was at Ramakeli, they decided at one night that they want to meet him in person, incognito. So the Chaitanya Chaitamrita explains, and we would like to go through this classical example of how the disciple completely surrenders at the lotus feet of the spiritual master. They say, Jaya Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Dayamaya Patita Pavana Jaya Jaya Mahashaya. All glory to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the most merciful savior of the fallen souls. All glory to Supreme Personality of Godhead. The first, the disciple glorifies the spiritual master. They says, Nija Jati Nija Sangi Kari Nija Kaj Tomara Agrite Prabhu Kahite Vaji Laj. Sir, Prabhupada translates this as Sir, we belong to the lowest class of men and our associates and employment are also of lowest type. Therefore, we cannot introduce ourselves to you. We feel very ashamed standing here before you. This is the right mood of approaching, to understand our fallen condition. Last year when we were in Ukraine, I think I told this story, where with Bhakti Vishram Madhav Maharaj was sharing with me. Once he was in a temple and he used to, as a brahmachari, get up much earlier than Mangala Arati and finish all his 16 rounds before Mangala Arati. This was his practice wherever he went. So, in one of the temples that he visited, he got up early in the morning and to chant his rounds. Usually nobody would be there because it was quite early when he would get up. But at this time, in this temple, he found that somebody had already got up much earlier than him and was chanting Hare Krishna. And he went to see, and it was much important to discuss it today. It was His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj who was chanting his rounds. And he asked him, Maharaj, why are you chanting so early? Bhakti Maharaj was in a similar mood. He said, I am born in a very low class family, Nija Jati. And I need to do much more intense spiritual life, spiritual bhakti and bhakti yoga process than everybody else. I need to chant much more rounds and do much more intense bhakti to really attract the mercy of Krishna. That is why I am chanting my rounds much more than others, because I am fallen. Others don't require, but I need it. This is similar to the mood where it has been shown by Rupa and Sanatan. They are saying that Nija Jati, even though they are born in the most glorious Saraswat Brahman family, but they are saying that we are born in Nija Jati, Nija Sangi, and we are doing very useless, abominable work. And further they explain, with straw between their teeth, that we are more fallen than Jaga and Madhai. Now, you know, many of us, most of us, you know, we try to, you know, be humble. And, you know, we speak very, very superlative language of humility. But we don't really mean what we really speak. There was a conversation between two Vaishnavas. One Vaishnava said, Prabhu, I am like the worm in your stool. I am so fallen. Then that Vaishnava felt a little inferior because, you know, he spoke something which was, you know, which he couldn't refute. So he said, Prabhu, I am like the worm in that worm in your stool. Now, you know, we speak such things without really understanding what it really means. But here, when Rup and Sanatan Goswamis, of course, at that time they were Dabir Khas and Sakar Malik, when they were speaking this, they really meant it from the core of their hearts. And they convinced by their arguments that how they were actually more fallen than Jaga and Madhai. They said Jaga and Madhai were actually born in a great Brahmin family. They were staying in a holy dham of Navadvip where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was staying. They didn't have any, they didn't really serve mechas and yamanas. They said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the only bad thing that they had is they had some sinful desires. But they said that by chanting your holy names, unlimited sinful desires can be taken away. But we, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami said, have served mlechas and yavanas. So we are much more fallen than Jagai and Madhai. Mlecha jati, mlecha sevi, kari mlecha karma, go brahmana drogi sange amara sangama. They say, actually we belong to the caste of meat eaters because we are servants of meat eaters. Indeed, our activities are exactly like those of meat eaters because we always associate with such people. We are inimical towards the cows and the brahmanas. Mora karma, mora hate, galiya badiya, ku vishaya vishtha garte diya che phaliya. The two brothers, Sakar Malik and Dabir Khas, were very humbly submitting that due to their abominable activities, they have now bound by the neck and hands, have been thrown into a ditch filled with abominable stool-like objects of material sense enjoyment. And here, Prabhupada very, very nicely explains the word ku-vishaya. The fact it is explained, it is ku-vishaya, there's something what is called su-vishaya. Vishaya means bad activities. But bad activities, which is not related to Krishna, but in the mode of goodness, is Suvishaya. Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur explains. But activities which are really bad, which are in the mode of ignorance and passion, they are Kuvishaya. And Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur compares this Suvishaya and Kuvishaya to a wet stool and dry stool. Discussion of stool is a very integral part of our discussion of Bhagavatam. It comes very often. And it explains here, wet stool and dry stool. Whether a stool is wet or dry, it doesn't really matter. After it is stool, the moment you come in touch with stool, you are impure. Similarly, Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis are explaining that we are involved with kuvishaya, we are involved with bad abominable activities because we are serving mlechas and yavanas, the people who were attached to meat eating and cow slaughter. So this is a very, very classical example of how we can surrender at the lotus feet of spiritual master. And what is the result of such humility and glorification of the spiritual master? What is the result of this? The result is the devotee becomes completely enthusiastic and fearless in his life. Of course, there are many, many results of surrender to the spiritual master. But one very important outcome is he becomes fearless. And one very wonderful example of this fearlessness is His Holiness Niranjan Swami Maharaj. Just recently, I was fortunate enough to be in his association in Ukraine. And he was explaining to us his situation when he first came to the communist countries for preaching. Try to understand, Prabhuji's, that all of us being in India have got bhakti so very easily. But that was not the situation in the CIS, in the former CIS countries. At that time, when he first entered the communist countries, the communist regime was still very much prevalent. There was still, the power of communism was still very much on. But still he entered somehow or the other. And there were no temples, obviously. They would be staying in hotels. And in order to preach, his enthusiasm was that whatever he had got, he wanted to share with everybody else. And this enthusiasm made him so fearless that he had to come and preach in the CIS countries. And he was staying, they were staying in hotels. There were two devotees who came. Somehow they came inside. And they were, of course, wearing in a karmi dresses. They were staying in a hotel. Every single room of the hotel was fitted with certain gadgets which would record everything that you speak and what you say. They couldn't even chant Hare Krishna in their rooms. They couldn't even speak in their own rooms in proper language. They have to speak in codes. Nirjan Maharaj would escape at 4 o'clock in the morning, go to a subway, but that was the only place which was not under any surveillance of any gadgets. And they would chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra 3 hours every day in subways. And that too under not, the two devotees would not chant in the same subway. One would chant in one, another would chant in another subway. Early morning, they would chant their rounds, seeking the blessings of the spiritual master to give them the power to preach in this very, very difficult situation. And then they would meet people incognito. They would distribute literatures. And they would hear that the KGB were coming. And they would just disperse themselves. Very, very difficult situation. Another very, very nice story that we heard. Of course, all of you have seen this wonderful film which was made on Ukraine. The preaching in Ukraine. Which shows that what type of suffering people have to go through. But they were ready to do it because of their dedication to their spiritual master. They went to tremendous austerities and suffering and dangerous situation to the extent it was danger to their lives. I was talking to Achyut Priya Prabhu, who is one of the regional secretary of the Ukraine area. And he was explaining to us how difficult preaching was at that time. But people were so much wanting to be Krishna conscious, but they had to do everything underground. They really couldn't come in the light because KGB was really heavy. They considered that three things were very detrimental for their communist rule. Number one was the Western culture. Number two was, I think, the television. And number three was the Hare Krishna movement. These three things were detrimental for their rule, and they were really making sure that the Hare Krishna movement doesn't spread. He was explaining to us how scared they were that once they caught two of the very leading preachers at that time, they were caught red-handed preaching. They were sannyasis, leading sannyasis at that time. They caught red-handed preaching. Somehow they were, because of some good intelligence that prevailed at that point of time, they didn't kill them, but they put them into some flight which took them to some far-off place. And these two sannyasis, they saw behind them, there was an army plane following them to make sure that they don't really come back. That's how scared they were. They had a whole army, plane of army, of air force, just behind them following. That's how scared they were. That's how they were so much wanting to not have the Hare Krishna movement spread. But devotees were determined. Because of their guru nishtha, they wanted this to be available to every single person that they met. And slowly, because of their great power, the preaching slowly spread. And of course, it was explained at the time of Mr. Gorbachev. You all know Mr. Gorbachev, that the communist regime really fell down. And that's how the preaching started. But of course, at one point of time, still, even the communist rule was not so strong, but still there was tremendous opposition. And there's a very beautiful story which I'd like to share with all of you. How devotees were preaching against all odds. How they were so much surrendered to their spiritual master. And because of the surrender to the spiritual master, such fearlessness came in their hearts, which gave them enthusiasm for preaching Krishna consciousness. So when they would preach, these devotees at this point of time started doing kirtan on the streets of Russia, in former Russia. And the policemen would really catch them and they'd just throw them in the vans, beat them up. But the devotees started becoming more confident. And they became more intelligent. What is happening is the different media agencies from the West, from America especially, came to to Moscow to really show the world what sort of atrocities were happening in the communist Russia at that point of time. And they were shooting everything, the media people. So devotees, they joined hands with these media channels. And they would tell the media channels that we are going to have a big procession in Moscow, one of the important political places of Moscow. And the moment we do a procession, in a matter of minutes, the police will come and just throw us out because they're very powerful. But you should come there and you should photograph or video everything. So these media people would be ready. And devotees would chant Hare Krishna on the streets. And in a matter of minutes, he would say in 1 or 2 minutes, this procession didn't have any meaning because in a matter of 1 or 2 minutes, the police would come and just pull them, beat them up and throw in the vans. But everything was recorded. And the next day, everything was shown in the whole of America, in different channels. All the atrocities with titles, the atrocities the communist regime is causing to the Hare Krishnas. So devotees started getting more and more faith. And then when the policemen would attack them, he said, "Don't touch us," the devotees would say. "If you touch us, your name will be in the Western world that tomorrow." And the police were scared at that time and they would not touch us. That's how the devotees really fearlessly preached in this countries. It was really very, very difficult. And I realized that how we all have got Krishna consciousness so easily in a silver platter. It just came to us in our hostels or in our own houses. And so easily. These people had to really struggle to become devotees and to continue remaining devotees. Devotees were brainwashed. They were giving excessive dosages of glucose to really stop their mind from functioning. People have really gone insane. Devotees have gone insane. Devotees have died in jails. Why all this thing was happening? I asked Niranjan Maharaj, "Maharaj, how could you do this?" He said only one thing. Guru Nishtha. And I said, "But Maharaj, you have not even met Prabhupada even once." Niranjan Maharaj, when he was asked in Pune Yatra, you all remember, how many times he had met Prabhupada? He said, "Zero." He had never ever personally met Prabhupada. He never had any personal exchange with Prabhupada. But the type of Guru Nishtha that he had in his heart inspired him to do so much and is continuing to do so much for the welfare of the people. That is the outcome when a disciple surrenders at the lotus feet of spiritual master. The spiritual master, Prabhupada was explaining today in the lecture I heard in the DT room while dressing, that the spiritual master is like the collector. When we want to give tax, we can't give tax directly to the government. We have to give to the collector. He collects on the behalf of the government and then he gives to the government. Similarly, the spiritual master is like the collector. He collects the tax from us, our services, and he offers it to Krishna. And simultaneously to that, all the power of Krishna coming through the spiritual master is available to us when we get connected to a spiritual master. Everything, all the power is there. This is the power of Guru Pada Dasyam. By surrendering to the lotus feet of spiritual master. So again and again our acharyas are are requesting us, recommending us, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Koryo Ake Arana Koryo Mane Asha. We should take the instructions of the spiritual master as our life and soul, and there should be nothing else that should be in our life. And that is what is shown by the activities of King Rahugana, how he is so wonderfully approaching Jad Bharat, and he is saying that I am now present before you. Similar to the mood of Arjun, where he approached Krishna, that now I am a soul surrender unto you, you instruct me the way you want. Similarly, Rahugana is saying that now I am seeking your help, I am seeking your enlightenment. Please tell me how I can advance in spiritual life. King Parikshit had the same mood. He approached Sukhdev Goswami in a similar mood. Now I have 7 days. Please tell me what is the purpose or what is the duty of a man about to die. So such submission at the lotus feet of a spiritual master is what this verse is teaching. And if we can imbibe this mood, we'll really be successful disciples and in due course attain our eternal abode and go back home back to Godhead. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Any clarifications or any corrections? Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Srila Prabhupada Ki Nithai Gaur Premanandi.